Some women impersonate Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw with vast closets full of fantastic clothing. Even Sarah Jessica Parker pretends to be Carrie Bradshaw when she walks the red carpet. However, there is one woman in New York City who, if he knew her, would have been Darren Star's real muse. Let me introduce you to Susan S. Warner, the adorable petite blonde who at 59 lost her handsome, extraordinary husband to cancer 6 months after her wonderful 32-year-old son died by suicide. It's now 4 years later. After the most challenging days and nights, Susan decided to live her best life possible. And just like that, Susan was suddenly single. Carrie may have Susan beat on exposure, but Susan has Carrie beat on life's experiences. Listen in.
Hi, Susan. I had lunch with a friend yesterday, and she said something to me that I wanted your opinion about.
Sure.
And all of a sudden she said to me, "Lois, I'm free. I would do anything to bring back my husband, but that's not going to happen." All of a sudden I realize I answer to no one. Susan, what does that feel like?
Lois, that is such a wonderful, wonderful way to start this podcast. And it's such an interesting question. And it's something that people who are widowed or divorced might even not say out loud because they feel guilty. But I'm going to back that up with another quote. And it's something that I've been saying lately. And it is, "I have loved and I have lost. I will do what I want, when I want, with whom I want." Does that answer your question?
Yes.
There is something, I call it the silver lining, and I write about it and I talk about it, that yes, you never have to say, as someone who has lost, "If I could have them back, I would XYZ." I don't believe in that, because we're going to go under the assumption that that's always true. But then let's look at what comes out of this that isn't always negative. And there is a freedom to this that is a silver lining. Yes, I do what I want, when I want, with whom I want. And I think that is an extraordinary thing to pass on to people that have lost anybody, who have divorced, who have suddenly feeling a newfound freedom, or go find that freedom. And I can't endorse that enough. Find the freedom that lets you do what you want, when you want, with whom you want.
What if someone said to you, "I don't want that freedom. I can't feel that way. I'm sorry. You know, that may be good for you, but it's not good for me."
Well, there you go to the other side. And the other side is, then sit yourself down and start dating. Start looking for a companion. And I'm not just going to say a lover or a husband or a boyfriend. Start looking for someone that you want to spend the next chapter with. And that's somewhat what we've been talking about all along, getting out there and dating, forming relationships. So having freedom doesn't mean you want to be alone. And that's where I think what we should talk about today. That freedom doesn't denote, "I want to be by myself and always do things by myself." You can have freedom and be with someone. And I'd love to explore that with you.
Good. So do singles over 50 want to stay solo, or are they in a rush to couple up?
Do singles in their 20s want to stay solo, or do they rush to couple up? Do singles in their 30s?
Do singles over 50?
I'm saying to you, do singles over 30 feel that way? Do singles over 40? That demographic is not different. We aren't dinosaurs. We aren't three-headed. We have the same emotions and feelings as anybody else venturing into the single world. The only difference is we're not rushing to have children. So where that motivation comes, that they want to couple up, they want to get married, they have a time clock going, which, you know, I had, you know, back in the day. I got married very young, so actually I didn't. But people do, particularly this generation that's marrying in their 30s, they're considering marriage because of the time clock of having children, which is appreciable. But I don't think we're any different. Some people want to be in a coupled relationship. Some people want to have dual residences. Some people want to get married right away. The exploration is for people that want to have a companion, why? And for people that want to get married again, why? Because they're column A and column B. You're not getting married to have children. Why do you want to get married? Why do you not want to get married? I think that's the exploration.
I wish we had call-in, because I would think that that would generate a lot of call-ins from people discussing that, because I think there's the secure people and the insecure people, and they may look at it very differently. But I'm glad that you said that out loud.
Right, but that may be a little harsh. Maybe everybody's motivation for getting married isn't because they're insecure. It's because they want that 24/7 companionship. They want to go to bed with someone every night, wake up with someone every night, have someone to do something with, or just be there. And then there are those people that like their alone time as well, that want the companionship, want to spend 3 or 4 nights with a companion, but love the nights that they jump into their beds and do what they want, be it Netflix or reading or the computer or thinking by themselves, who need the time to decompress. I know for myself, who I'm in a very verbal world as a college counselor and doing this, I'm talking a lot. And I socialize at night with my friends as well. After I'm done talking at the end of the day, I don't want to speak anymore. I want to be silent. I want to either, you know, plug into a streaming show or read without conversation. So a few nights a week, I love that solitude. There's some people that just want someone next to them, that it's really important for that security. Then you can go to the other end. There's people that are wholly dependent or feel if they enter into a marriage relationship, then there's less chance that that person will leave them. They need it for the security. I can hold on if they marry me and make the legal commitment. I think that's just brushing over then the emotional commitment. You can be a companion and still have that commitment. It doesn't have to be legal. And that's a debate between couples and men and women. And, you know, of course, in the marriage situation, there's the complexity of families, there's the complexity of finances. When you are a companion, there are not. It is far less complex on the mundane things, let alone the emotional things. But I think many people who do want to get married, either A, want that companionship 24/7, require it, and also feel that there's less a chance that that person's ever going to leave if there's a marriage commitment. And I think that's silly, personally.
That brings up a lot of questions.
Yes, it does.
Probably for another podcast, but that one was very powerful, I have to say.
Yeah.
What motivates certain widows or widowers to choose not to date?
You know, that I really think that that's such a great point, because I have female friends who have no interest. You know, we talk and they're always, you know, interested in my journey, but they were in either relationships that were really long term and good, and they don't want to do it again. They are content with who they are and don't find the need to be with a man. I also have married friends who have said to me, if anything ever happened to my husband, I would never remarry. Now, would they never date? We've never talked about that. And when I was in the throes of my marriage and younger and was immortal and invincible, as was my husband, I thought, wow, that's so sad. But now, as a single woman, I understand what they're talking about. There is an element to marriage of the everyday ebb and flow that I'm not interested in getting back into, from the dry cleaning to the nagging to the mundane. It doesn't interest me. And not all marriages, I'm not saying marriages are mundane, they're just set up differently. When you are not seeing everyone every day of the week, I think there's a drop more excitement when you do see them. And when the time is extended, there's even more excitement. And I like that. Some people don't. And that is so up to you personally. I know there are men that do not go back into the dating world, and they don't think that they can ever share their lives again with another woman. Oftentimes, that happens with really extraordinary marriages with men. I find, may not be the truth, but I find that, where they loved and they lost and they are not going back into love again. My dad was like that. You know, he had his one love and he never thought that he could love again. I do know that there are men that have been widowed, particularly, who said, I can't go back in. I've, you know, my children will fulfill me. I have friends who fulfill me. I'm not doing this again. I can't face that pain again. And what that does is, you know, there's a lot of us who are in relationships who need help committing again. You know, there is a commitment issue for some people because they've been hurt by death, hurt by divorce, that make us a little gun shy. And I understand that. And that's a piece of the unit you need to work on as a person. I need to work on it. But there are people out there who were all in it, had an extended marriage, and cannot ever see sharing their lives with someone again. They felt they had the best and they're done.
I wonder, is it sharing or is it the responsibility? I think that when I have spoken to a lot of widows and widowers, they would share, they just don't want the responsibility of all that burden on them. And when I say burden, I don't mean to put a negative connotation to it, but it is, you know, a lot more to do when all of a sudden you have this freedom and you could, you know, be your own person. It's like, do I really want to take on someone else's life and all their, you know, baggage that comes with it? So
that is incredibly insightful.
I don't know if that has something to do with it or not. I don't know.
No, that is incredibly insightful. And I have to, you know, hats off to you for being a very good listener to your friends, because that's next level in understanding the psyche of someone who is lost. And that is very true. And I understand your burden doesn't necessarily mean negative, right? It doesn't. It just means that there is an emotional and an intellectual freedom to being responsible only to yourself. And as I said, that responsible only to yourself does not preclude you from having relationships and companionship.
Right.
It just means that ultimately, you control your days and nights. It's not patterned into a traditional marriage. So I think that that's an incredibly insightful statement. And, you know, maybe I could, you know, prescribe to that. I it's something that is very well said. And yes, also, you know, to hurt and lose at that level, some people say, I just can't go back in again.
Right.
I can't do it again. And there's no, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to lose again and it's going to be that level, but there is, you're gun shy. There is a shyness to, you know, I came out the other side once, can I do it twice? So it
well,
is
do
so
I want
complex.
To do it twice? Yeah.
Exactly. And it's so complex, and people often pass judgment on people who date or don't date on,
of
the,
course,
on
yes.
the more mature level.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a deep psychological component to this, and I give you a lot of credit for understanding it. You know, you've been married in a duration marriage, and you fortunately have not experienced this, but you seem to have a very insightful understanding of it from having friends who have experienced it.
Well, yes, with friends and watching, yeah, and my parents' friends and my parents,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. So we should move forward. What are the advantages of a single life after 60? That's the natural question to ask you.
Right. Excitement, learning, newness, being
responsible
to you.
You're making me blush.
Look, I said in my writing, to find out how a new man touches you, looks at you, makes love to you is very, very exciting. And most people in committed relationships that are good never think they're going to have another partner. So whatever
right.
they have, and however it has evolved, biologically, sexually, intellectually, it is. And then all of a sudden, you have the experience, you can go back and experiment. You can be either who you were or who you want to be, and you never, ever anticipated this was going to happen. How exciting is that? So there is an excitement, and you know, there's people who are extroverts who really like to date and never thought they were going to date again. And here they are dating and meeting new people and adding to their stable. And I don't mean that as a bad
yeah,
term.
I know.
A stable of friends. You know, you can date someone and say, well, it's not going to work out as lovers, but we could be great friends. Or you could end relationships and say, we didn't make it as a relationship, but wow, we could be really good friends. I mean, that has happened to me. And I have enriched my life with that person as a friend. And it's just a new dimension of being a sexual person, of being a multidimensional person, and expanding your lot of friends and relationships and learning again and growing again. So there is an advantage to that. Now, of course, your next question is, what's going to be the advantage of married life on the next stage? Security, companionship. Companionship should never, ever be belittled. You know, there's something to be said. Husbands and wives turn into great companions after years, best friends, companions. There's something to be said about having someone to depend on, not being alone when you don't want to be alone, not being lonely. So there's an advantage to being married. And then all the advantages of being married, you know, the being a couple again, not being Mrs. Susan Warner and guest. Mm-hmm. You know, I, for one, can't imagine not being Susan Warner. You know, in honor of my husband, in honor of my children, in honor of me, I have grown into this woman. I am Susan Saul Warner. I don't not want to be her. Now, you could say to me, you never have to change your name. That's true. But yeah, it's the intellectual part that I would not be Susan Warner anymore. And that is hurtful to me on an emotional level. So, you know, are there advantages to being married? We all know the advantages of being married. Companionship, love, you know, security. The same advantages there always are of being married. The question, of course, the big question mark comes with the advantages of being single. That's more more investigative as it goes.
Do you think that senior singles like a steady companionship or network of relationships?
Are you asking me to say like networks of relationships or being married or being a companion?
Right.
Am I comparing those two?
Right.
I think that most women would prefer companionship. I think that men after divorce, particularly, probably women after divorce too, are more apt to want to experiment in relationships. I think that widows and widowers tend, if they came out of good marriages, tend to go back into companionship. I think if you were to do a study, I think that most people who are looking to date again in the last third of their life prefer companionship, be that marriage or companionship, prefer steadier relationships. Yes. Why is that? They're not as sexually active. They know what companionship is about. Some people who have been in long-term marriages never really explored their own potential and prefer to be a part of a committed relationship. Growth is hard, really hard, and can be painful sometimes to grow. I don't know that people, as they enter the last third of their life, want to work that hard at it. If you do, it's extraordinarily rewarding. Extraordinarily rewarding. But I'm not sure that most people want to go on that journey. So entering into a companionship relationship where emotions are shared, life is shared, it's built in, is more comfortable. Being single, dating, meeting new people, exploring new people, rejection, it hurts. It's hard. It's work. I'm not sure most people want that work.
I know. It amazes me when I talk to people, and I don't mean to really interrupt the flow, but your comparison of rewards and comfortable, your definitions of the way you speak about it is very different than the way I think about it. When I think of somebody that doesn't want to get out there and get rewarded or is too comfortable, I think of unambitious, you know, not curious, you know, wants things handed to them. I could go on and on, but I'm not going to continue. So I always see, like, the person that got to this point is the same person after, you know, after death, and how they deal with their new companions is they're just, it's the same person, but just with, you know, different names.
Honestly, I don't think that's completely fair.
I know. You don't think so.
No, I don't. Yeah. You know, the growth I was forced into, pushed myself into, was encouraged by people around me, particularly my daughter, has been the most rewarding, the most growth, and the most exhilarating of anything. Not anything, but a lot in the last couple decades. I mean, I loved my husband dearly, and I had an extraordinary relationship. But I was complacent. I was. And this growth that's been pushed on me and by choice has been so fulfilling and so self-actualizing that although I would take him back in a minute and go right back to my old life, I can't imagine not being who I am right now,
Mm-hmm.
I really like where I've gone.
That's a great quote. Those are great words.
But I like who I've grown into. I like who I am. And that's amazing for me. You know, that is the most I can ask for in a silver lining.
That's very
the most I can ask for. Yeah.
So on that note, do senior singles get giddy again and run wild once they get out into the dating scene with steady people or you know, companionship? What goes on?
Some. Same that I'll say to you before. Do people mm-hmm. in their 40s do that when they're divorced? Or yeah, same. People that want to go for the gusto, who want to date 6 times a week. I told you, I know men that kept Excel spreadsheets. They dated so much to keep the women straight. You know, she's mm-hmm. this, she does this, she's from here, this is her background. Not to be mean or cruel or crude, but that's how they kept them straight. They went on, they approached dating like job interviews. And I'm sure there are women that did that too. You know, I hear more from men because I dated men and date men. But, you know, some people do, and some people jump right into a committed relationship. Some people fall in love the first month. Some people are slow and steady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are no different in the zoo than anybody else.
Exactly.
Same giddy, same wild, same didn't anticipate, same experimentation, same reserve. We're the same animals in the zoo.
I make the
comparison. Don't box us.
Yeah. I make the comparison to friends of mine who thought they were straight, discovered they were gay. Once they're gay, they turned into teenagers and they just didn't stop socializing morning, noon, and night. So I was just wondering mm-hmm. the same thing about, so it's like,
some.
Some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some. Same. You know, it's all, as I said, we're all the same animals in the zoo. You know, same. Some people do, some people don't. Same. Yeah. You know, the one thing that's interesting is when I saw a doctor about some of my grief and she asked me, you know, were you ever carefree? And unfortunately, my answer was not really, for lots of reasons to be explored at another time. But she said, you're probably feeling a carefreeness now for the first time. Silver lining. Would I take my husband back? Of course. Do I wish my son was next to me? Of course. That aside, there is a carefreeness to being, you know, my daughter's in a beautiful marriage. I'm a little bit more carefree emotionally, physically, psychologically. There is a beauty to that. And yes, if you're carefree, do you run a little giddy, a little wild? Maybe you do.
That's another quote. I feel like we should make t-shirts up with these quotes to help the rest of the world. I really do.
Unfortunately,
I really
no
do.
One will buy them.
Oh, no.
Maybe one
and
day.
I know the right target audience also.
We'll explore that another time.
What is the experience like for the new person entering their companion's foreign world? Like, you know, you meet somebody, they say, oh, you're so wonderful. I can't wait for my friends and my children to meet you. What is that like? I mean, that's like, oh, my God. That's just like when you're 18 or 25 or 30 meeting, you know, the family again. But is it different as you're older? What goes through your head?
If you're the person that likes people, that likes to make new friends, that likes to embrace new relationships, it's extraordinary. You know, the man I currently see, I had the opportunity, have the opportunity to meet his mother's sister, his aunt, and I have embraced her like a mother-in-law. I adore her. Mm-hmm. Aunt Elaine, I think she's incredible. I love going to see her. I love the dimension she brings into my world. So that's amazing. He has some wonderful friends. In all of my relationships, I've met wonderful friends of theirs that have been really embracing and interesting and brought a new dimension to my life, who I like to socialize with. And that's a new opportunity because you have your friends, basically, you know, particularly your coupled friends. So I think that it's like an opportunity to double down on more friends and more relationships that are really growth worthy. And their children, we've addressed that in a previous podcast. That is a little bit more complicated, but again, can bring a new dimension to your life if you have a good relationship with them or if they accept you. So I think it's a reason to expand your world. That's more of the growth and life expansion that you get. And then that goes, you know, what's the responsibility of that person who's bringing people in? Oh, to be gentle and soft and try to balance that world. That's a challenge. You know, you're introducing to the brother-in-law or sister-in-law, you know, your deceased spouse's family, this new person.
Right.
Who loved the person that they lost. There's a real balance there, and it's not easy. And I think at some point you take a deep breath and say, this is who I'm with. You want me to be happy. You need to see the world through my eyes. You need to look through my lens. And it's hard for them, and you need to be sensitive to them. But at the same time, they need to be sensitive to you. And that is a balance, and it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, with people who are more enlightened and are looking for your happiness and looking for someone who treats you well and is kind to you and good to you, they need to not compare the last spouse. But it isn't easy for them. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not easy. And you have to do it gingerly, and you have to do it on tiptoes, and you have to be sensitive to their needs and your needs. That's a journey. The journey, and it's not easy. It's not.
Susan, are there pressures on the dating, you know, senior couple to get married like it may have been, you know, 30 years ago when they were younger?
No. I think I'm going to say that definitively. I don't think the world cares. I don't think the world cares if you cohabitate and you're older. You know, I don't think they care if you cohabitate anymore and you're in your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have definitely progressed in the world that it is not uncommon for two people unmarried to live together or to quasi live together as they enter, you know, the back end here. I think that people are very accepting. I think that it's really funny because even in invitations, and I referenced this girl in the last podcast who sent me an invitation to her wedding that was my son's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately addressed it to Susan Warner and guest. And I thought that was really kind. People aren't, you know, I don't have to be engaged to the person to get invited with a guest, with a companion. And people are very sensitive to that and very kind. I don't think there is the pressure. No, I don't. I think any pressure is internal.
Okay. External. What happens when one of the partners in the relationship wants to get married? How often does that happen? And the other one wants to stay single. What goes on after 50?
I think that happens a lot. I think that people come from different places and have different needs. And that can be a deal breaker or it can be a journey. If you're happy in your relationship and you're happy where it is, both people are content, then I think you have to respect the person that doesn't want to go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not happy and this is your end game, then you need to evaluate and say, is this a waste of my time? Do I want to ultimately be married? If a person is definitively saying, I'm never doing this, then you need to reevaluate it as the person that wants to. If your companion is saying, I don't know what the future will bring, then you need to decide if the bride is worth it. I'm a firm believer in, this will be the title of my book that will be coming out, Never Say Never, Never Say Always.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I've learned. And I can say to a man right now, I don't want to marry. Will I want to marry in 5 years? I don't know. If you can't live with the indefinite, then you need to make that decision. If you're content in who I am and the couple we are, then stay on the horse with me. But it is something that you need to talk about. This is a use your words because it can create frustration with the person that wants to be married, and
right.
It can create tension for the person that doesn't.
So
this
so
is
it
a
sounds
do,
like
use
it's the
your
same
words.
Thing. It sounds like it's the same thing no matter what age you are.
Well, not really, because when you're young and you're in this for 5 years and the person isn't committing, the clock is ticking. If you want children, you've got a biological clock.
Right, right.
And you want a future with someone married. It's a married world, you know. Noah brought the animals in 2x2.
Right.
If you're older and you're not looking for children and marriage isn't the end game because it's not definitely a married world. It may be a couple's world, but it's not a married world. It's not the same pressure when you're young. No, it's not. I don't think. You know, I'm
so one
not
question,
committed.
One question I always wanted to ask you is, how sweet or sour is a second relationship after 60? What should most people expect?
Again, it depends what you're looking for in a relationship. If you're looking for companionship and there's nothing wrong with that, and you're just looking for someone, and I don't mean just, that was a poor choice of words. If you're looking for someone that will be with you, that will stand by your side, that is kind to you, that is a warm body there, then that's the sweetness. If you're looking for more, for the ticket, for the golden ring, for meeting of your expectations, then you're looking a little harder and you're looking for different things. So I think, like any relationship, don't people, when they're younger, marry for different reasons? Sometimes for money, sometimes for companionship, sometimes for love. I think it's the same thing. But when you're older, companionship trumps a lot. And a lot of men and women don't want to be alone as they age. And I get that. So they're looking for a companionship and they're looking for commitment, because things are shinier at 70 than they are at 80. And things are shinier at 80 than they are at 85. So they want to know that they're in a committed relationship where there will be someone there to help them, to take care of them. So sweet and sour doesn't really give me the answer to companionship and commitment. And people look to age out and they don't want to be alone. My thought is, let's deal with that when I get older. I don't see myself in that demographic yet. Mm-hmm. I don't. Let's talk about that in 10 years. I'm not ready to talk about that right now. I'm still looking for the excitement and the fluttering and the fun and the excitement.
So you bring up a very interesting point. It's very different from 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80, and beyond.
Yes, I think it is.
That you just opened up a whole new area for me. I never realized it that much.
I think it is.
It's a big difference, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. You know, I used to plan. Lots of people who have lost or divorced used to plan. But I found out that those plans don't always work out. I was going to age out with my husband and we were going to ride into the sunset into our 80s.
Right.
Didn't happen. Right. So I don't know why I, you know, I'm not stupid, you know, hit me once, I get it. So why do I have to plan this time? Why can't I live for today? And I'm not saying, you know, get on a motorcycle and drive 120 miles an hour, you know, down Route 27, but why can't I live emotionally for today? And see where this party goes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one that's going to tell you that I know where I'm going to be in 10 or 15 years. Right. I'm hoping happy, healthy, and loving.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need to make that commitment at my age now in my early 60s for where I think I'm going to be in my 70s or 80s. I don't. I learned that planning slaps me in the face. So I'm going to try to live 120% in today. And not
you're in the moment. You're the in the moment girl. That's for sure.
I am. Yep.
So,
and I want to be.
So with that,
yep.
I think we went over time, but it was great. Maybe we should have an overtime YouTube with people calling in.
I would love people to come in, call in.
Right.
I think we should try to set that up to call in to do it live.
Because we got
to get a radio station to pick that one up.
Yes, that's a great idea. Okay, Susan, we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for your wisdom.
Will do.
And
have a wonderful weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you.